Let's join together in prayer. So, Father, for this season and this morning and this service, Lord, and all the songs and all the meaning of Christmas, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming in human form, human flesh. Thank you, Holy Spirit, all of your work in the Christmas story, prompting people, calling people, arranging the Christmas details. So, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for this season. And we do pray again this morning that there would be something we could do in response. As we just sung, Lord, may it be our hearts. May it be our minds, our souls, our spirits, our lives that we bring to you and give to you in response to all that you have given to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the reading from Luke chapter 1. I'm going to invite Dave and Marge to come forward and read about Mary and Elizabeth.
This is called Mary Visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her."
And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers."
So Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus. What I remember about that is that they both seem amazed. They seemed amazed at something they seemed to be putting together about their pregnancies. They seemed, well, obviously Mary's pregnancy was like miraculous, but they seemed to have an instinct that there was something really significant and meaningful about each of their pregnancies, and then of course Elizabeth's baby leaping for joy as it's interpreted through scripture. So that reminds me of my experience as a woman, kind of having an instinct for things, like just kind of noticing that there are connections with different things and that there are significances in life. And it's kind of neat that they, as women, particularly as women, had insight into there's something happening here. This is, we're somehow part of what God is doing, and it's filling us with joy.
Now, we are in this Christmas season, and we're looking at the theme of what can I bring him? What can I give him? And as we look at this theme, we're thinking about the characters in the Christmas story. And even as we sang the song a little bit ago, we're thinking about characters in the Christmas story who are also bringing something. And for me, this has been so helpful. I guess I never really saw this before, but every character in the Christmas story responds in some way, which you would expect when news, when good news comes to us, there's going to be some kind of response. So he's a little bit hidden this morning, but we began 2 weeks ago talking about Zechariah in the temple with his doubts. And then last week, Mary and Joseph giving the thumbs up to God, their obedient response, their willing response. And this week, we're thinking about Elizabeth and Mary, who I'm going to suggest are connecting with the theme of joy in the Christmas story. And they are going to bring, I'm going to suggest, a song and a dance as they hear about and together talk about the joy of their pregnancies. And then as we're singing just a moment ago and as we're thinking about the Christmas story, of course we have to ask each other, what will I bring? What will you bring? How will we respond to all that God has given us through Jesus Christ? So not just characters in the past, and isn't that interesting, and let's look at some of the details, but what's going to be our response? And this morning, again, Mary Elizabeth very much connecting with the theme of joy. Now, Luke, the writer, doesn't tell us Christmas is about joy. You don't read that in his story, but it's all through the story, right? The angel Gabriel tells Zechariah early on in Luke chapter 1, your son will be a joy to you. And we just heard Elizabeth saying to Mary, when I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And then Mary singing, my spirit rejoices. My spirit finds joy in God. And later on, if you keep reading in Luke chapter 1, the neighbors and relatives of Elizabeth heard that God had been merciful to her, and they shared in her joy when her son is born. And then most famously in Luke chapter 2, the angel telling the shepherds, good news! Good news, this good news will cause great joy, mega joy to all the people. So all this joy, all this rejoicing, even as we hear about the questions people have. How is this possible? I'm a virgin. How is this possible? My wife and I are quite elderly. Questions and doubts, and I'm going to suggest near divorce between Mary and Joseph. All this joy coexisting with the other details of the Christmas story. And this morning, I want to think about joy in three kind of categories. I'm hoping as I talk about these, some of you will connect and say, well, that's been my experience as well. But joy that is shared. Secondly, joy that erupts. And thirdly, joy that is rooted in something or someone else. So the sharing of joy, the responding of joy, and the rootedness of joy. And the first two, actually very quickly, I love this picture. Like, this looks like real humanity to me. Right, I can read it and I can imagine it, but I'm helped by the picture because it looks like two women who are pregnant sharing joy. Joy is that explosion in our hearts, minds, bodies when we hear or receive or believe good news. And it is, I'm going to say, impossible to keep joy all to yourself. Now try and imagine the couple who gets engaged. Let's not tell anyone. Right? Let's just keep it all to ourselves. Your team scores the winning goal. Don't share it with anyone. Don't tell anyone this amazing goal. The graduation happens. Shh. Shh. It's impossible, right? Facebook, Instagram, on the phone, send you a text. Something's happened. I want to share. And that's why we gather. The anniversary, the party, the victory, the graduation, the milestone. Let's get together because we have to somehow share the joy we're experiencing. And here too, Mary and Elizabeth sharing in their joy together. And secondly, as is evident in the picture but also in the story, there is response. Right? There is response. It's a response that just comes when people are experiencing goodness in their lives. They have to do something. And maybe some of you have had this. It's not the have to of obligation, like someone told me to respond with joy. It is the have to of my heart. My heart has to do something. It must respond in some way. And I think the same thing is happening in the church in this season, but also in our culture. Right? Why all the music? Why all the food? Why all the dinners? Why all the presents? Why all the concerts? Some people will say, it's December. That's what we do in December. And I would say yes, but there's something about the Christmas story that we got to do something. And our culture, I'm thankful, is still responding, right? We still have to do something because whether they know it or not, the news is so good in the Christmas story. There's an eruption of response individually as a church community, but also wider out into our culture. And I love the response of Elizabeth. Now, it's really the baby in the womb that's responding, but she's the one who's articulating, right? When I heard your greeting, all I had to hear was you had come to visit the baby in my womb, leaped for joy. Now, I've never been pregnant. At least half of us, I would say, have never been pregnant or more, but I've never heard a woman, and maybe it's happened, a woman say, my baby leaped. I've heard them say, oh, it kicked and moved. It was wonderful. Maybe a little painful, but it was wonderful. Maybe it's happened to you. I've never heard a mother say, my baby leaped. But I'm going to suggest that when John is leaping in the womb, I'm going to suggest he wants to dance. Can we say that in church on Sunday morning? He's leaping. He's wanting to dance. There's not enough room in the womb. So he wants to, in some sense, get out. One of my study Bibles said that John leaping in his mother's womb shows that he recognized, even in the womb, that he was in the presence of someone greater than himself. Just Jesus, this other child in the other womb, is no mere prophet. That's what John would be. He would be a prophet. But this, his second or third cousin, this other baby in the womb, is greater than he is. So in response to the greatness of this other child, this Jesus the Christ, John is leaping or dancing. And then certainly Mary. So joy is shared, and joy is, there's a response typically. I would say always when there's real joy, there's response. But then joy is always rooted in something or someone typically outside of us. So I could be joyful, I guess, in myself, maybe, but typically it's something that's happened to me. Someone's given me something. Someone's helped me in some way. Someone's brought some good news or good deeds into my life, and my joy is expressing itself. I find it interesting that when Elizabeth talks to Mary, what does she say? A number of times, actually, in those first few verses that Dave and Marge read, she said, you are blessed. I think at least twice, he says, you're blessed. And we would say, wow, Mary is blessed. She has the Christ child in her womb. Wow. Amazing blessing. But Mary doesn't say, you bet I'm blessed. Let me tell you how blessed I am. I'm going to tell you how great I am. I'm going to focus on me. No, it's almost like she hears the blessing from Elizabeth, and I'm sure acknowledges, but she goes and let's turn that focus on me. Let's focus on the one who has given me the blessing. So this child, this angel visitation, this whole thing happening to me is amazing, Elizabeth. But I can't focus on this joy or even the angel visitation joy, all that he told me. I need to focus my attention, your attention, on the God who has given me this joy. And that's certainly what Christian writers will tell us. C.S. Lewis in the last century, Christian writer, Christian apologist, noticed that early on in his life he had these moments where he was just feeling joy, these pangs of joy. And he realized later on all those little joys was pointing him to a bigger joy, a larger joy. That the joy, the joy of childhood or playing or other things in his life, it was never enough. They were always pointing to something else. In a book entitled Hidden Christmas by Pastor Tim Keller, Tim Keller says this, Augustine, so this is hundreds of years ago, like 4th century, St. Augustine believed that even when you seem to be enjoying someone or something else, God is the actual source of your joy. The thing you love is from him, and is lovely because it bears his signature. All joy is really found in God, and anything you do in joy is derivative, because what you are really looking for is him, whether you know it or not. And I feel, at least for me this year, I feel a little different about Christmas. I feel, and this is just me, my testimony, I feel like I used to, and maybe it came across sometimes, like, well, the lights are great, and the presents are great, but let's not focus on that. Let's focus on Jesus! Jesus! And it was almost like I sometimes felt I was dismissing all the joys people were experiencing, like, okay, that's fine, but it's not the real thing. I want to say now, enjoy the lights. Enjoy the parties. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy the presents. Enjoy giving, being generous. I even want to say, somewhat hesitantly, but I'm going to say it this morning, enjoy your glass of wine, your bottle of beer, or your Bailey's Irish cream. Enjoy all that, but know that is not the end of the joy. So I don't want Christians, and I maybe need to apologize for sometimes being a party pooper during Christmas. Instead of telling people, enjoy, 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 and then through that experience, can you see it's God that's given you that, and that thing is pointing you to God? I think that should be our approach to all these things that are happening. Don't not enjoy them. Or don't secretly, I'm secretly enjoying this party, but really, I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to just enjoy Jesus. No, enjoy the party, enjoy the presence, enjoy the lights, and then allow them to lead you to Jesus. I think that's what the joys in our lives are meant to do. And Mary, of course, is just bursting with joy. My soul magnifies the Lord. Thank you, Elizabeth, for your comments and your blessing, but my soul is focused on God. The Message translates Mary's opening lines, I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. That's Christmas. That's the Christmas season. And I'm so intrigued that when the church and even our culture, when we focus on this story that's so full of God, what happens? I get so focused on what God has done. I'm thinking about Christmas. I'm singing about Christmas. What happens to us? We're actually nicer to each other. I feel that every year, we get focused on Jesus. You would think that we would forget other people around us, but what happens is we actually become nicer and kinder and more generous as we focus on what God has done in Christ. And Mary's song helps me. As one scholar noted, the subject of all the verbs in Mary's song is God himself. So this is what I would call a true worship song. My soul is magnifying the Lord because God has been mindful. God has done great things for me. God's performed mighty deeds. He's lifted up the humble. He's helped the servant Israel. He's remembered to be merciful. All that God has done, I just keep telling and singing about it. Now, I do have to recognize this morning, you know, we're talking about joy. And we've also mentioned the Blue Christmas service, which for some people might sound like contradiction. Like, how can you talk about the blueness of Christmas and people not feeling joyful and then have this joy going on? For me, it's not so much contradiction. The word I would use, hopefully I'm using it right, is juxtaposition. And this is, I've realized, always going on in our lives. Even in the Christmas story, there's the joy, and then there are the sorrows, or the challenges, or the trials. There's a verse in the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that says, we're always sorrowful, yet we're always rejoicing. These things are always somehow together. And so Sunday morning, we could be talking about joy. Tuesday night, we're maybe weeping together or reflecting or sorrowful. And this is how God has put us together in this life. The sorrow and the joys put together. And Jesus Christ comes into this world with this very intention. I'm so thankful he doesn't come with a banner waving, don't worry, be happy, don't worry. No, he comes poor for the sake of the poor. He comes simple for the simple. He comes very, very human for every human being. He comes in the midst of cruel Roman oppression himself as well. For all of us who are oppressed or feel oppressed, he comes as light into the darkness, right? And he acknowledges, he experiences all that darkness himself. Now, there are so many renditions of Mary's song. We're going to sing one later on at the end of the service. But I thought I would just sing a song as well. And I'm thankful. I don't have to ask anyone if I can do this. I just do it. Sort of like it or not. And I just find Mary's words are so amazing. This is a song by John Michael Talbot. He's a Roman Catholic monk, I think. I used to listen to him much more when I was younger. And lots of songs just based right on the Bible. So I love to listen to him. Hopefully I get this right. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. And my spirit exalts in God my Savior. For he has looked with mercy on my lowliness, and my name will be forever exalted. For the mighty God has done great things for me. His mercy will reach from age to age. And we sing holy, holy, holy is his name. Sing together. Just a final line. And we sing holy, holy, holy is his name. And even as we hear the words of Mary and hear the song, and in a few moments we're going to sing another rendition of her song, we're invited in. And this is the amazing thing about this story. Now, I do want to say not every story in the Bible invites us in, right? Some stories are like, don't do this. You know, don't imitate what these people are doing. But this story is a story of invitation. Because as you read Mary's song, she's not just singing about herself. She is singing about herself, but not just about herself. She's singing about what God has done for Israel, but really for all people. And there's so much to thank God for and rejoice in through the Christmas story. But maybe the thing I want to point out this morning is that there cannot be joy that Mary sings about in the Christmas story. There cannot be singing and dancing and leaping in the Christmas story if God himself is not full of joy. That would be utterly impossible for a God to plan this much joy, this much good news in this story, and not himself be full of joy. And I say that because I think it's true, but also I say it as encouragement to us. Please do not think, and hopefully nobody does, but please do not think that we are making the joy of the story happen. Or we're kind of getting all the joy going. No, no, no. We're always responding to the joy that God has in himself and he has placed in the story. So whenever we experience joy, whatever it is, that eruption, that response, that wanting to share, in a small way we experience the life of God. And we as a church community are called to this joy also this morning, so important for us, because when we can do that, really be joyful together, we experience the life of Jesus among us. Not to negate the sorrows and the trials, but also to engage in the joy that we're called to experience together, because this is also the life of God and the life of Christ.